This is Reset. 40 is the new happy, the podcast that talks with people who reinvent themselves as part of life's second act. I'm Mike Morin, and today the curtain goes up for local professional wrestler, Fabulous Johnny Vegas. Now, before he was famous and fabulous, he was John Vitale, the race announcer at Rockingham Park in Salem. You've heard his voice. He also can be heard some nights as the Fisher Cats PA guy. As a wrestler, Johnny is attired in a satin bathrobe and sunglasses that you might find in the gift shop at Caesar's Palace on the Strip. The horses may be gone from the Rock, but Johnny still works the track by day and dishes out chokeholds, dropkicks, and an occasional Boston Crab by night. Now that there is no longer any live racing, Johnny, here at The Rock, what do you do here?
I am the assistant general manager, and we have simulcasting 7 days a week from racetracks from around the country, and we have a fabulous charitable poker room, and it is open 7 days a week as well, and there is charitable bingo 3 nights a week here. So
you must miss the live racing action. I always respected somebody like you who could call a race after just seeing the names of the horses and studying it for just a few moments.
Yeah, I do miss that. It was, it's tough during the summertime months when it's a beautiful summer day and we would have live racing or a Friday night. People loved the Friday night racing. So it is missed, and people would ask me about the job, and I say, well, it's different than anything I've ever done, whether it be, you know, standing up in front of hundreds of people or whatever like that, or doing whatever. This is just really different. It's almost like being a Major League Baseball umpire, just calling it as you see it.
Sure. All right, so you come from a family with a flair for entertainment, and I'm thinking of your dad, a much-loved stage hypnotist for many years, Jerry Valley.
Yeah, he just turned 80 in July and still performing. He also does a lot of teaching. He does a seminar yearly in Las Vegas and another one around here, around the Marlboro area, I believe. And so people can go to take his course in Las Vegas, which is pretty cool. And it's like a week-long thing. They stay out the Orleans Hotel and learn how to do stage hypnosis. And he also has an office in Methuen still and still does area stage shows.
All right. So that's where the DNA for the showmanship comes from. And your passion – all right. So it turned to professional wrestling nearly 20 years ago. Was this a childhood dream that you do still continue to live?
I think every kid or a lot of kids think of being a professional wrestler. When I first got the itch to be part of the game was back in 1990, and I answered an ad about a guy that was running area shows that needed a ring announcer, an interviewer, and he would tape stuff for television doing play-by-play. Never made it to television. I answered the ad, and he took me on, and I never wanted to get in the ring. I didn't want to be touched. I said, yes, I'll do ring announcing. I'll do all the interviews. I'll do play-by-play, whatever, stuff like that. And eventually, he kind of ran out of money or whatever, and I made a lot of friends along the way, and I started doing some managing, just non-in-ring stuff, on the floor, being a manager, again, not wanting to get in the ring. And then one of my friends that I had made a friend, he was doing some teaching up at Salisbury Beach at a place called Champs Arena. I said, well, I'll come by and watch and give you some feedback. And there were a couple of guys, and one in particular, a smaller guy like my size, was in the ring, and he was being tossed around. I said, well, I'll get in the ring with you. You can do things with me since we're both the same size. One thing led to another. I started doing some training, and the guys doing the training, they said, hey, you'd be better inside the ring than outside. And that's how it really started back in, that was October of 93.
Wow. All right, so word on the street is that you were the toughest fifth grader at St. Monica School. Even the nuns feared you, am I right?
Oh, yes, they certainly did. In fact, I still think I owe some homework, so I'm still a little fearful. Sister Julie, who was the principal at the time, was probably all of 5'2", but at that time towered over most of us. I'm still afraid of her, and I told her that, and she laughed. But I still don't think I can take her, so I am tough.
So you just mentioned a moment ago that you're not really a big guy. I mean, you're an average-sized person, but for when you look at people like Triple H or the names that we all know, how have you lasted 2 decades in the ring without, you know, getting killed?
Well, years ago, back in, I would say, like the 70s and early 80s, wrestling guys were big, old, fat men that did this. I mean, you watch some of the 60s and 70s, and they were big, round men. Then the 80s came on, late 80s, and guys were being really big guys, you know, Hulk Hogan, like you said, Triple H, guys like that. Then on came guys like Dean Malenko, Shawn Michaels, Rey Mysterio Jr., who's smaller. A lot of guys like that that I don't want to say revolutionize it, but kind of change the way people were thinking, that you didn't have to be all big and muscular like that. So smaller guys were getting an opportunity. Because when I first started, they like, small guys, you know, we're not really using small guys. And then on came these guys and kind of opened the door for guys. I'm a 5'10" and 170 pounds. So there are guys that are bigger. There are guys that are 6'2", 3'4", and so on, and 220, 240, 260, 300 pounds. So you do get in with guys that are bigger. And I won't say that I can beat them easily, but I will say that I also tend to bend the rules a little bit and get some help along the way, we'll say, so that I can go up against somebody that's, you know, 250 pounds.
You have had a taste of the big time. Maybe your biggest claim to fame was a call to be a part of a sold-out WWE show at the TD Garden in Boston 4 years ago. It must have been a thrill to literally be on wrestling's world stage.
It was quite a thrill. Any aspiring wrestler or wannabe wrestler, whatever, has illusions of grandeur. They want to be on the WWE stage. I got the call from WWE. They were looking for somebody to be John Cena's Little League coach, which I really was. You know, I was really his coach. So they called me to come in for a Monday Night Raw, and it was absolutely a thrill to walk out on that stage from the curtain and to see 18,000 people and then to do your thing in the ring. So I had two things come to mind when I was approaching the ring was, A, don't forget your lines, and B, don't trip down the ramp, which neither I did. So, but after that performance, I mean, it wasn't soon after my phone started blowing up. You know, people were calling me and saying, oh my God, I'm in section 128. I just saw you on Raw. You know, all these people, I didn't even know watched Raw because it's a live event. It's live on television. And, you know, see, I'm in section 4802. You know, I'm like, wow, I don't even know what this is. And I'm looking around the arena and then people saying, you know, yelling to me my name because I stood kind of off to the side after I was done. And it was really cool to see the amount of people that went and the amount of fans that there really are. So that was really a thrill. I don't think my feet ever touched the ground.
Was there any physical contact? Were you just there as the baseball coach? Was there any horseplay?
There was no contact. It was just all verbal, which I was a little disappointed. I thought maybe I could do something, but I just, you know, my first time there, and I said, I'll just do whatever they want. So actually, my part was actually cut out originally, and they said, hey, you know, don't leave. I'm like, oh, I'm not going anywhere. And then John Cena himself came out and said, hey, we put that part back in, so this is what we need to do. So it was really, really cool.
Now, you were also inducted into the New England Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame about that time as well. What was it like accepting that award in front of wrestling icons and heroes, for example, the late Chief J. Strongbow?
It was really cool. It's the New England Professional Wrestling Hall of Fame, which was quite an honor that they thought of me. And yes, I was inducted with Tito Santana, and Chief J. Strongbow and Rick Martel. So Chief J. Strongbow, I was, you know, grew up as a kid idolizing him and, you know, imitating him and mimicking him as a kid. And then to have him actually sit in front of me and listen to me speak as I was inducted was quite a thrill because, you know, you're surrounded by friends and colleagues and, you know, former big-time star. I mean, he was a huge big-time star. So it was very thrilling.
Yeah, he started in the 40s, and I read a story where he was not at all in favor excuse me, of the gimmicky aspect of wrestling, and then all of a sudden he became this Indian character, and all the fellow wrestlers were shocked as heck that he actually went on to become what he did.
Yeah, labeled from Pawhuska, Oklahoma, and actually he was an Italian guy from, I'm not sure where he's from, but very, very nice guy. Very down earth. Unfortunately, he did pass away, but really a brilliant in-ring performer. I mean, really did what you want to do as a wrestler. You want to bring these people on a ride, and they really followed him and loved him, you know, as what's called a true baby face, a good guy. He was really a good guy in the ring, and you really wanted him to do well.
All right, so now you're an instructor at the New England Professional Wrestling Academy in North Andover, and that is, now we're going back to my childhood, the former Killer Kowalski Wrestling School. Did you ever work with him while he was still with us?
Unfortunately, no. I had met him a couple of times, but he had sold the school to a group called Chaotic Wrestling, who is one of the organizations that I do some work for, and then it has been bought by Brian Fury, who's a local professional wrestler as well, very, very good professional wrestler, and he bought the school, and I help him teach. School is 3 days a week, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays. And we have a lot of students, and one that's now made the big time, it's a female named Sasha Banks, who is currently on the WWE roster, which is quite an accomplishment. She's made it all the way to the big time. She went through their training facility, through NXT, and now is on her way. She's going to be a huge star.
So your part in the wrestling education process, is it more technique and style, or is it more how you can win an Oscar?
Well, I actually work with the really new students. I do more of the beginners classes. We actually have two rings, and I kind of separate it as grades 1 through 4 and 5 through 8. I take the 1 through 4. So we go through really building of the foundation of what all the real groundwork of wrestling and from the very beginning, and then I pass them on to the next level, which is more advanced in-ring stuff. And then we get into theatricals and into promos and how to speak and all that kind of good stuff.
Finally, you've spent years living your dream. Offer some encouragement to others who would like to be you.
Well, I tell you that I am probably double the age of most of the people that are in this business, and but I'm still going, and I told my wife I'm going to keep doing this until I am not having fun anymore, and I'm still having fun. I didn't start training until I was 29. A lot of these guys are starting at 17, 18. If you feel good and you want to do it, absolutely do it. I mean, there's no age requirements, really. I mean, you know, WWE, would they take me? Probably not. Not at my age. They're looking for young people. But to do the independent circuit and to do area shows and to really live a dream, I mean, to take the people on the ride and convince them of somebody that you really are not, although I really am Johnny Vegas. You know, you may be a character that you really are not. So, yeah, just if you feel good and you want to do something, go and do it. You know, why not?
Worst injury you've had?
I've been very fortunate. I really, other than a couple of aches and pains and a backache and my thumb would dislocate a little bit, but nothing major. I have escaped injury, so I've been very fortunate.
You've lived the dream.
Well, hopefully I'm still living it, because I'm not ready to jump off the cloud yet. So, but yeah, trying to live it, trying to continue to live it.
Fabulous Johnny Vegas, John Vitale here on Reset 40 is the New Happy. Can I come out of the scissors hold now?
Only if you pay me some money. I'll let you go.